97.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Definitely something we can build off of, knowing that we have to play incrementally better this week to beat Seattle.
Arizona's, you know, really special. Kyler's been balling and love to see him doing his thing.
Anytime you play a division opponent, particularly Seattle, who's undefeated and playing as good as anybody in the league, our guys know what's coming in here.
Talking Cardinals, NFC West showdown with the Seattle Seahawks on the Doug and Wolf Show.
I don't know why, but Maloney came in my ear in the not-so-beautiful part of the program and said, Paul's going to join you in the Auction Community Studios on this one because he wants to make that Seahawk noise. So go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
Hey, I've been there. I've been buzzed by the Seahawk, the actual mascot Seahawk that flies around that stinking stadium with the 12s yelling and throwing stuff, and there's the Seahawk flying around and Kenny Loggins playing. I've been there and done that, Doug.
You know, having said that, we hate to admit it. We try to run from the truth sometimes here in Arizona. But one of the huge, disgusting advantages Seattle has every time they come to State Farm Stadium, and one of the reasons why they always win, is because it's a 50-50 split on tickets. There's a ton of Seahawk fans. Guess what's not going to happen? There won't be a ton of Seahawk fans here this year.
Good boy, Douglas.
And you know what? When the Cardinals go up to Seattle, that's going to be their disadvantage because they feed off the 12s and all the animosity and the hatred and the noisiest, loudest stadium. I don't care what Kansas City says. The loudest venue in the league is Seattle. And the Cardinals players, there is no chance they ever go in without the energy and intensity needed. Yeah. And it's one big reason why they've won 5 of the last 6 years. Even in Steve Wilks' year, they gave the Seahawks a game. Because they just go in fired up, ready to match the physicality of the Seahawks up there.
That's a good point, Paulie. No doubt about it. But they're going to need it, man. They're going to need to bring their own energy here at State Farm Stadium, even though there's going to be some fans, of course, that are going to be allowed in. But they're going to have to bring that energy. And I think it all starts for this team on offense.
The Cardinals are at least moving up the ladder in the world of ESPN because they are a subject matter. And I think it's because you're about halfway through the year, and I just read an amazing – I didn't look at the math, but I saw a really funny tweet a second ago from somebody named Jeremy Clough. Sorry, I don't know much about you, Jeremy. But his tweet said, if the playoffs started today, it would be Cardinals at Tampa Bay and Bruce Arians.
Oh, my goodness.
Right now, that's where they'd go. So that's kind of funny. And ESPN's really paying more attention to the Cardinals. And this is Marcus Spears on NFL Live yesterday.
Russell Wilson will be staring down the barrel against the Arizona Cardinals. Now, if they go into that game and they leave out of that game with the red zone efficiency and being able to have Buda Baker take the chances that he was able to take against the Cowboys and not get burned and give up 60, 50-yard bombs over the top of their heads, if they stop the guy that threw 5 touchdowns on Bill Belichick's defense, the same Bill Belichick defense that only gave up like 13 points, I think, to the Kansas City Chiefs or whatever it was, then I'll be ready to jump on board with the Arizona Cardinals defense. I ain't there yet. They ain't played nobody, to be honest with you.
So then they went to Dan Orlovsky, who's kind of fired up. Hey, after hearing that from Marcus, does Arizona even have a chance against Russell Wilson?
Absolutely. Marcus just sounds like a hater right now. Like, listen, they don't need to be the San Francisco 49er defensive left here. But can they own a certain part of the field? Like, can they be really good in a certain area? Because right now, they are. Like, offensively, they're the second-best red zone offense in the NFL, and that's because of the quarterback run. And defensively, they're the second-best red zone defense in the NFL.
So there you go. Yeah. Own the red zone for him.
Hey, why can't this be the scoring fest that we thought last week was going to be? Why
You're
can't
right.
I
Probably
mean
will be, Paul.
Seattle comes in dead last in passing defense. Think about that. If we've been waiting for the breakout game for this Arizona Cardinals offense, why can't it be Sunday?
There's
why
no doubt, Paul.
Won't it be against a Seattle defense dead last in passing D, dead last in total defense, 18th in scoring D, allowing 27 points per game? Honestly, you know, Seattle comes in with a defense that's ripe to get absolutely ripped by Kyler, and a Cardinals team that when they finally hit their stride and they don't leave all these extra points out there and first downs and things where they've been missed, when it finally clicks, Seattle better be aware that they could be the one that gets duped this Sunday.
The Seahawks offense, though, I have to tell you right now, I mean, the talent that is on this offensive football team is stunning to me. It really is. You look at Russell Wilson, we all know he is the MVP of the National Football League right now. Russell Wilson's talent, second to none in the National Football League. And then you've got those wide receivers, DK Metcalf, of course, Tyler Lockett. You're talking about big, fast Tyler Lockett. Super fast dudes running down the field, chunk throws all over the field. Nobody even talks about Chris Carson. Nobody even talks about their ability to run the ball.
You know who does talk about Chris Carson?
Who?
Brock Huard.
Chris Carson is one of the top five toughest backs in this league to tackle. He's not someone that a defense, and especially an undersized defense that Arizona possesses, is going to want to hit and finish for 60 minutes.
Mm. Listen, Chris Carson can run the ball. 5'11", 222 pounds. Have you ever tried to tackle somebody who's 5'11", 222?
It's been since the eighth grade that I tried to tackle anybody.
I will tell you right now, you will get your face flattened. Chris Carson runs the ball in a very physical kind of way. And if you look at the metrics for the Seattle Seahawks, they're not bad at running the ball. They just choose to throw the ball because there's chunk plays all over the field. And the biggest anomaly of the Seattle Seahawks offense, they're number 31. On third down conversions.
Mm.
If you can get him into third down,
Which seems shocking with Russell Wilson.
There's a great chance you're getting off the field.
Okay, so does that go hand in hand with this stat? The fact that the last couple of years with Brian Schottenheimer as the offensive coordinator, they threw the ball Seattle on first or second down, the fewest of any team in the league, throwing the ball first or second down. This year, because everyone's running about, okay, let Russ cook.
Right.
This year, they have the same number of pass attempts on first and second down as Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes.
There you go.
It's decidedly different this year.
Yes.
The Seahawks offense
and
their
approach.
And that
must mean when they're getting incomplete passes or taking deep shots, now they've got third and long and they didn't do much.
Exactly.
And then that's where they end up. And that was actually what Brock Huard told Burns and Gambo yesterday. You want to beat Seattle? Stop the big boys.
If Arizona can minimize the big plays, the explosive plays, that is what has been so just remarkable about these Seahawks and DK and Russell and the rest of that offense. If they limit the explosive plays, Arizona will win on Sunday.
You ever watch your baseball team play and it takes them seven batters to score a run? Where they just grind it out and they finally get a ground out and they knock somebody in. And then the next half inning, the other team hits a solo home run the first batter. And you're like, ugh! When you watch Seattle's offense, it's a lot like that. You just march down the field. You painfully got a touchdown. You did it. Nice. Boom. Deep shot, DK Metcalf touchdown. And like, wait, was that easy? And it's 7-7. And that's all that's happened is they took their deep shot and they got you.
Look, if I have my coaching grease board, number one, two, and three is still Russell Wilson. And I think Brock Huard said it yesterday. He's not just great. He's elite. And the Cardinals defense has not gone against an elite quarterback this year. Not even close. Teddy Bridgewater was efficient. He was effective. But in terms of that guy who can read and react and decipher your defense and put the ball on the money, whether it's short or long, Cardinals have not matched up against that sort of quarterback. So that, to me, is the first, second, and third challenge for this D.
Number one scoring offense in the National Football League, the Seattle Seahawks, 33.8.
Text WIN to 620-620 for your chance to win a twosome at the Auction Southern Dunes Golf Course. It is a gorgeous place to play golf. That's WIN to 620-620. We all win with Auction. Coming up next, I think he's a man that's getting in touch with his feelings. Wolf says he's full of crap. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Love this when there's a lot of NFL news and you may know little tidbits of some but not all of it, and we can give it to you in a fast-paced way. And here's what you need to know. Just came down from Pro Football Focus that they are reporting that the Ravens are going to work out Dez Bryant, not just to kick the tires, just to make sure he's at the point where they can sign him.
Yeah.
So it's more than just, hey, we're just kicking, bringing him in. Let's see what happens. They plan on signing him. Why does that matter? Because that's one of the suitors for Antonio Brown. Pete Carroll was asked and didn't deny it.
We have endeavored to be in on everything that's going on. And John has done a marvelous job of always being tuned in to what's happening. And and this is no exception, you know. So we'll see what happens, you know, as we go forward. But we're tuned into what's happening there.
Hmm.
He said, John, that's John Schneider, of course, the general manager for the Seattle Seahawks. I don't think there's any doubt the Seahawks are interested in signing Antonio Brown. I think maybe the Ravens are actually trying to pressure Antonio Brown. Maybe say, hey, listen, you know what? We've got an option here. His name is Dez Bryant. And I think Dez Bryant right now, would you not kick the tires on Dez Bryant? He's 31 years old.
That's it?
That's not ancient.
Wow.
By any stretch of the imagination. You better believe I'm kicking those tires.
Well, Adam Schefter's reporting that there's a very good chance Antonio Brown will be back on a team soon, and he eyeballs relationships.
Antonio Brown spent part of the offseason working out with Russell Wilson and Geno Smith. He's good friends with both Seahawks quarterbacks. He's remained in contact with them. They've told him how he could fit in Seattle, what it would be like to bring him to the Seahawks. Can you imagine Antonio Brown in Seattle playing for the Seahawks? What a combination that could and would be.
No, I could not even imagine that right there. Antonio Brown playing for the Seahawks because they love 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers, and now all of a sudden you're telling me you got Chris Carson as your back. You've got these three wide receivers, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, speed demon Tyler Lockett, and it's not like DK Metcalf can't run either. And now you add Antonio Brown into the slot. Oh my goodness.
Well, earlier this morning, right before Doug and Wolf, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin were on, and they were talking about how AB fits on the field in Seattle.
When you go to the field, you match him with Tyler Lockett, who is one of the top three, maybe three, four slot receivers in the game, the young DJ Metcalf. You got David Moore and Greg Olsen. Those five, four guys with AB, you slide in there.
So he's bragging about it. Now, here's what you want to talk about, gamer status.
No.
J. Will was not on his own show today because of surgery. And yet, what did he do? He still called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line.
J. Will, what are you doing?
To the Doug and Wolf show.
You see, guys, that's why ratings are going down in our show, you know, because we got Keyshawn, who's supposed to be the football guy, who says DJ Meg. It's DK Metcalf, Keyshawn. Know your own sport. Know it. That's why I get so frustrated, guys. I couldn't let you guys know. You guys are my guys.
Well, not only do we appreciate it, hey, bust him. I'm glad that you at least get the chance to bust him with our show because you didn't get to do it on your own show today. So that's
what's
cool.
Well, you know why, Doug? Because only guys who are very secure at themselves like to make fun of other guys who aren't even there to defend themselves. That's what I recognize.
Well, the most important question is, how you feeling? Are you good?
I feel miserable. I'll give you guys a quick story because I'm going to stay on with you guys as long as you have me on until you kick me off. Okay.
Go for it.
I'm high on meds right now, so you're getting the best version of me. And what's happening is, a year ago, I went to go get a root canal, and, you know, they did a crown and all this stuff. And I woke up like 2.5 weeks ago with this horrible, like, midday nap. Like, my face just felt like it was on fire. And I tried to fight through it for a week and a half. And then I went into the dentist, and he's like, you know, they do the whole x-ray, and he put the x-ray up on the monitor behind me and just said, And I said, what the hell does that mean? What is that? I can't interpret that. I don't know what that means. And he's like, This is not good. We're going to have to extract the tooth, but also dig into your jaw because you have infection rooted around your jaw area. So I literally brought my wife with me to the appointment that evening to hold my hand. Oh. And it's not so much the surgery, guys. It's the meds. I feel loopy all the time for this whole week. Wow. But I'm here.
Gamer.
Okay. No, that is so cool of you to do that right there. I won't tell you my story.
Oh, no.
I won't get into
no,
that.
No, I want to hear your
no,
story.
No, Jay. We'll be on here for the next half hour.
And more importantly, Jay, ratings will go down when we tell the story.
Exactly.
As you mentioned before, that's very true.
So, Jay, what did you think when you watched the Arizona Cardinals on Monday Night Football? What was your big takeaway?
I started laughing. Well, see, this is so many layers to this. Okay, first off, I've been like the lone soldier inside the East Coast, battling for teams on the West Coast, saying, "Hey, by the way, like Arizona is not cute key." And I know you like to say that every single weekend. And granted, you know, it's so funny to me. You know, all these narratives are so applicable to teams, and you can make them out to what you want to be, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I'll give you an example. It's not Arizona, but like Tennessee, you know, takes 2.5 weeks off. And then they come back and they play exceptionally well. And it was like, oh, man, I can't believe they didn't miss a beat. They're a team riding Tannehill. MVP conversation. Look at Derrick Henry. Look at their defense. You know, look at all this stuff. All right. So then following a week later, the Patriots have time off. They come back. They don't look, what's wrong with the Patriots? Oh, no, that's not. I'm like, well, damn, you got, wait a second. Wait a second. So all of a sudden now without any preseason, like we just forget that teams are just supposed to find their footings like early. And I laughed at that game because I'm sitting here as a Giants fan and we have a game. We have a big game tonight and one win. We're still in the hunt in the AFC East. Are you kidding me?
It is a joke.
So you were laughing.
Nobody from that division should get a playoff home stay at all. That should not happen. But that whole division is a joke to me. It's a joke. 24/7.
For me, I want to see something. There's got to be some value in winning your division.
They can get in. They just don't get the host.
There's got to be some value.
They get in. They don't get the host. That's the value. Something.
What? How many times has this happened where we've got a horrible team, a horrible division?
Then let's say you got to be 500 at least to host a playoff.
It happens once every 20 years. Why change everything?
They're still in.
It happens once every 20 years.
Win your division. You're in, but you don't get to host.
So if you're 4-11, I don't know, 4-10, like is that you can win your division winning 4 games? Like is that, shouldn't you at least be 500? Like shouldn't there? I know we don't want to change rules, but I mean, it seems like the one thing that's inevitable in this world has been changed. Look at 2020.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, I get what you're saying.
5-11 is going to win that division.
But it happens once every 20 years where you've got a subpar team, a sub 500 team, like the Seattle Seahawks. When was that?
They were 7-9.
That was the last
the year of beast mode
and
the beast quake.
Exactly.
They were
right.
7-9.
So it happens so rarely that why are we going to change everything just for that? For the anomaly.
Yeah.
Change it.
Easy. I don't know. All I know is if I'm Kellen Moore or if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm knocking on the door of Fitzmagic, and I'm saying, hey, look, I'm not sure Andy Dalton is going to cut it. I know everybody talks about, well, you can't just bring somebody in mid-year. They have to learn the playbook. It's going to be challenging. I feel like Fitzmagic has played for every team in the NFL. If there's anybody that's well-equipped to pick up fast and quickly on new playbooks, it would be Fitzmagic.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, Jay. Without even knowing, you drove to what I want to ask you about. You are the judge in the room for Wolf and I. Wolf says he's full of crap. I'm totally buying this.
I was shocked by it.
His heart hurts.
Definitely caught me off guard. And you know, it was a hard thing for me to hear yesterday, just kind of digesting the news. My heart just hurt all day. Like it was heartbreaking for me.
I buy it. Wolf says he's full of crap. Where are you, Jay Will?
Doug, I sometimes ride with you. I can't ride with you on this. This is, and I want to, Doug, but Wolf is so right. Like you know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like somebody who is in an acting class in high school. And you're like,
you got it,
Jay. It wasn't really believable, but you kind of made me feel like it had potential to be believable. Not sure. You're like a C-list actor doing okay in movies, not making A-list, not making B-plus money. But I look, the one thing you always know about Fitzmagic, he's going to say the right thing. But I think the extra pop of emotion, I don't know if I necessarily believe that. I mean, come on. You knew Tua was going to play sooner or later.
My heart just hurt all day. I can't even get over that. You're talking about a career backup who's had a great career. He spent 14 years.
But we've heard it when somebody's actually retired. Remember Tony Romo?
Seasons are fleeting. Games become more precious.
I mean, come on. We've heard it. He was on his way out.
Well, I mean, what are we What are we writing poetry though, guys? I mean, what kind of, what are we eloquent?
But they are fleeting.
No, see, you just like Tony Romo, so you're signing that.
Hey, Doug Wolf, I'll say this. Look, Fitzmagic has done well. He's made $71 million in his career.
Yes.
He's not doing too shabby being a backup QB, okay?
Yes. I agree with that. Man, hey, Jay,
you are the best.
Great. Thanks for calling in when you're on the IR.
Jay, make sure you're reading stuff now, okay? Eat stuff with those meds now.
Hey, you know what? I just can't wait to talk about DJ Metcalf again tomorrow.
There you go, player. Make sure you bust him on that. Good to talk to you, Jay. Thanks.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, guys. All right, you want more from
Jay Williams, you can get it tomorrow morning before Doug and Wolf starts, as that is part of the morning show that just started about a month ago.
I do, too.
That's Jay Williams, former Duke point guard, joining Doug and Wolf on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit coulternissan.com. Kyler and D-Hop, chemistry building or chemical overload? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
It's pretty boy football.
Everybody's going to have their opinion no matter what.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
You got D-Hop, you got Larry, Christian Kirk, the running backs, Kenyon, Chase, even the tight end.
I mean, we have everything that you need.
This offense has the potential to be the best offense in the NFL this year.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
Brian Griese actually won a national championship and a Super Bowl, by the way. Joined Doug and Wolf earlier this morning.
That's having a career right there.
Yeah. And said, key for the Cardinals, run the football.
Run the football.
And, we call it Research and Doug, which is a beautiful part of the program where on Wednesdays, where I throw together a couple stats that are kind of interesting. And here you go.
Since Kenyon Drake was traded to Arizona, only Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones have more rushing touchdowns.
Who'd have thought it, right?
Who would have thought that?
Who would have thought
We would all
that?
Say Raise Derrick Henry. Hand. But that's it. There's only two human beings on the planet that have had more rushing touchdowns in the NFL than Kenyon Drake as a Cardinal.
Hey, listen, even this year, everyone's all up in arms over Kenyon Drake. And what is wrong? What's going on with Kenyon Drake? And would it blow your mind, Basinonians, to know that he's number four in the league in rushing yards? Number four, Kenyon Drake. Now, I know we've only played six games, but he's got almost 500 yards rushing. And they've played six games.
Mm-hmm.
He's on pace to be over 1,000 yards rushing. That stunned me when I looked at that. 478 yards rushing right now. This guy, if he gets it going, this is going to be the best trend the Arizona Cardinals offense could possibly have.
That's what's so weird about the Cardinals offense right now is they're not that great for three reasons that seem very easy to fix. Give the ball to Kenyon Drake, and Drake run hard between the tackles.
Yeah.
Stop the false start, pre-snap penalties, or the out-of-nowhere, no-reason hold. Sometimes you're going to get beat, crap happens, but
yeah,
too
right.
many simple holding penalties. And then the inaccuracy of Kyler Murray, which makes no sense.
I think early, there was miscommunication, ball to hop. You know, a lot of things tying to being accurate. You know, your feet, eyes, body, all types of stuff. And if your feet are messed up, you know, that's going to lead to inaccurate balls. You know, being fatigued as far as, you know, running the ball and then coming back and throwing the ball. That's just something I got to work through and mentally, you know, get over in the middle of the game.
We were talking about this very thing with Brian Griese earlier in this broadcast, and I can tell you right now, I'm with Griese on this one. First of all, I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, I do believe it's impossible to improve a quarterback's accuracy. You might be able to do it in practice, throwing into the square, right into the net. You might be able to do it there, but baseline, when you're out there actually competing, you're going to bottom out. You're just going to do what your body tells you to do. I don't think you can really improve a quarterback's accuracy. I'm in that camp. Having said that, I will say right now, I do wonder what is going on with Kyler Murray, and I wouldn't be concerned about it in the least. I would not be concerned about it because I believe he's an accurate quarterback. until he overthrew Larry Fitzgerald wide open in the back of the end zone.
The problem with the conversation about accuracy is it's always been based on an accurate quarterback or an inaccurate quarterback becoming accurate. And there are so rare times where you see somebody that's inaccurate suddenly become accurate. I'm not familiar enough with ever seeing a quarterback that had no accuracy issues while in college, had no accuracy issues as an NFL. For the most part, he had a couple bad throws, but that as a rookie, you could really easily chalk that up to bad reads or kind of gave into the pressure a little bit. But never a problem as a rookie, and all of a sudden now it's a problem. Brock Huard was on Burns and Gambo yesterday, and he said,
I've watched a lot of Arizona in my crossover games doing this NFL this year. And, you know, there's some things fundamentally where Kyler's just really dropping the ball, and his delivery is much, much longer than I even remembered at Oklahoma. And I think that's leading to a lot of his inaccuracy and some of his interceptions and high throws and otherwise. So he's got to clean up some of his game. And when he's motivated and he's on point and he is focused, yeah, that is an offense that's going to be very difficult to stop.
Boy, that is interesting right there. It takes a his quarterback to know a quarterback, longer. Right? Motion gotten longer. I'd love it if somebody in the media actually asked Kyler Murray if his motion has gotten longer.
Maybe it's as simple as chalking it up to any of us who golf. That if you're a good golfer and then something's gone wrong and you get that swing coach that says, oh, here it is. Brandon Lau of the Rays, it's hilarious, said it was his butt. He actually sent tape to his two friends that help him with his swing, and they both corrected his posture and really where he had his hips at the beginning of his swing. Boom, he hits two home runs yesterday.
No.
Maybe it's as simple as somebody staring down the motion and just like a hitter and saying, wait, here's your form in 2019, here's your form in 2020, and oh, one tweak and he's back.
Don't you mean Brandon Lowe, Douglas?
I do not. And how many news people probably around the country were saying Brandon Lowe yesterday after his – and this morning after his – every news – I'll never forget one news guy one time, a famous radio news guy, after a Super Bowl win by the Packers said, and the MVP was Brett Favre.
Yes.
And oh.
Let's go to Chatty Caddy.
Maybe you should have known that one.
Well, Brandon Lowe hit two home runs. Okay.
Coming up next, Paul picks a side. On whether
my heart just hurt all day, like it was heartbreaking for me.
He picks a side in the Fitzpatrick debate. That's next on 98.7 FM.
Like it was heartbreaking for me.
Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. For the best sleep ever, go to brooklynbetting.com.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No,
can't wait to see Coach Double Rainbow warm up his arms.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
You know, at some point, we all, and I mean all, get that straight talk.
If you don't know what your role is, come on up to my office. I'll tell you till you're real straight.
Some see it coming, BA. Others get blindsided from behind by what we call life.
Damn! Reality hits you hard, bro.
Just ask the Dolphins' new backup quarterback.
There's a lot of stuff going through my mind yesterday. Is this it? Like, was that, you know, my last game as an NFL player in terms of, you know, being the starter and going out there and playing?
If you're wondering whether former Dolphins starting quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick is shell-shocked.
I was shocked by it. You know, it definitely caught me off guard. It was a hard thing for me to hear yesterday, just kind of digesting the news. My heart just hurt all day. Like, it was heartbreaking for me.
Can someone check the IR for the Dolphins? Is Ryan Fitzpatrick on the injured list with a hurt heart? Wolf, you're packing up right now. We've got a lot to unpack here with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, first off, you know, don't play that. The man lost his starting gig. I mean, he's opening up his heart.
I just felt fully committed and invested. Felt like it was my team.
Right. It was his team. I mean, Fitzmagic sharing the emotional toll, man, with the media.
I basically got fired yesterday.
Right.
Fired! And then my day of work today consisted of me in Zoom meetings listening to the guy that fired me.
I got good news and bad news.
Right.
And they're both the same. You're fired.
And then, you know, locked in a spaced out room, you know, with my replacement for 4 hours today.
So think of that dynamic. You got to spend the day with a guy who fired you and the guy who replaced you. It's not easy, man. It's tight. I mean, you know, even in your 16th year, it's not easy to hear.
You can act like a man.
No.
What's the matter with you?
Stop it.
This is called the National Football League, Ryan.
You know what? You guys are insensitive, and you all get the sawed-off shotgun of sports.
And he knows it.
Sports takes in Philly native Joe Judge in his hometown's direction as head coach of the hated Giants going into Philly tonight.
You know, going back to Philly this week. What are your thoughts? What are your emotions there?
I'll probably wear a helmet, too, because my in-laws are already buying batteries. So,
how about that for a one-liner? Joe Judge, and what to expect as he goes back to his hometown.
I feel like a Kentucky fried idiot.
Hey, that tough town of Philly, yo.
I'll probably wear a helmet, too, because my in-laws are already buying batteries. So,
Eagles fans, you know, Eagles fans, whatever. I don't know how many are going to be in there, but they'll bring it.
Go for it.
Right. Once again.
Go for it.
Then again, the Giants have lost 7 in a row to the Eagles and haven't won in Philly since 2013.
And really?
And by the way, family and friends of Joe Judge are getting tickets to the game tonight. Okay. But he says, and I quote, "My only rule is anybody who shows up that I either grew up with or have blood ties with, they have to wear blue.
And without that pledge pin."
He knows they're all Eagles fans. And he says, quote, "I respect their love for the Eagles from being in the town. But hey, look, man, you ain't showing up cheering against my kids' Christmas. You better come out in some blue cheering for us," says Joe Judge.
Do you understand?
See, Joe Judge has been here and done this before. In 2015, as a Belichick assistant, his 10-1 Patriots lost at home to a 4-7 Eagles team.
We're on to Cincinnati.
And Joe Judge made the mistake of getting his meathead buddies, all Philly fans, into the game, and they did not follow his rules. Okay, so he had to sit there and lose to the Eagles and look up and in stands and see his buddies and all in the Eagles gear NFL Network this morning.
Judge got his friends a bunch of tickets, and they went up there wearing Eagles colors. After the game, he headed home. They were there. He told me, quote, "I had a crew full of bozos in my kitchen chanting E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles."
Right.
I looked at them like, "Are you serious?"
Right.
He said they figured out pretty quickly this is more than just a game to Joe.
Yeah, so All you Philly fans, and you know who you are, his buddies are a bigger nuisance, I don't know, than the East Coast media.
I could just Xerox you a copy of your game plan. You can send it over to Kansas City if you got it. I mean, it might be easier for all of us.
By the way, the Giants have also lost 7 straight to the Cowboys. I mean, think about that, right? So, and again, I mean, you know, it's just New York, especially this year. New York football, the Big Apple, no. I mean, ain't what it's cracked up to be.
A new report did not name New York City as one of the 25 best places to live in the country.
Oh.
"I'm shocked," said an adult New Yorker with 6 roommates.
What now, about on Long Island?
Running the two-man game over here. You know, I'm trying to talk about New York and what's, you know, and you know what isn't real? Their quarterback.
He walked out there and I saw a professional quarterback.
Really?
After the 3 series that I watched.
That's Dave Gettleman, the GM, and what he said moments after drafting Daniel Jones, 5 spots after Kyler.
"I was in full bloom love."
That's quite a visual.
Awkward. Anyway, as we said earlier in the week, don't call him Danny Dimes. I mean, he went against your team, Doug, the stinking Washington team, went 12-19 for a 112 with a touchdown, a pick. The attempts, completions, and yards were the lowest in his 18 career starts.
Wow, not good.
Is that why they won? He's officially regressing. Danny Dimes' receivers, all of his receivers, all told, had 5 catches for 61 yards. So, as he made that leap in year 2, I'd say not. Here's ESPN New York Giants reporter on Danny. We'll call him Dismal.
He needs to show more than he did his rookie year. Instead, you see a lot of the same mistakes. He's thrown 3 touchdown passes in 6 games. Dwayne Haskins has thrown more. And the turnovers that were his biggest problem his rookie year, it's still a problem so far this season.
Mm.
9 turnovers in 6 games. That's not going to do it.
Wow. So if you want bad numbers, we could go from there to Seattle's defense, or we could go World Series TV ratings. I've enjoyed it so far, especially the Dodgers losing. But since the Nielsen ratings started tracking in 1968, game 1 of the 2020 World Series, is the least watched World Series game of all time.
Don't put a team in Tampa.
Yeah. Well, it is true. 2008 were some of the worst ratings, and it was also Tampa.
Paul Rupp,
it's time once again for No Comprendo.
Montreal Rays, Paul.
You want a headline? Here we go. And I quote, wannabe bride ambushes her fiancé at Target with a pastor and demands he marry her right then and there.
Stop.
Or it's over.
No way. Comprendo.
Yes way, Doug. We have the viral video to prove it.
You put this ring on my finger 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it's time to do it or get out.
Okay, it's tough. It's from a distance. But the bride, and she's wearing a wedding dress right in the middle of an aisle at Target.
What?
Says, quote, you put this ring on my finger years ago, and it's time to do it or get out.
You're out. Expelled.
Oh, please tell me he called her bluff and took the ring back.
The fiancé works at Target. He's wearing his official red Target golf polo shirt.
Yes, I'm a millennial.
No.
I have no work ethic.
He's working, Wolf. He's got his name badge on. He's hanging clothes on a rack, and she's saying now or never.
Yeah, we're getting married right now, or I'm leaving. I'm out. I'm done. Like, if you don't marry me this second, I brought the pastor. I brought Emily.
Yeah.
She's my bridesmaid.
The bridesmaid Emily is standing there, all dressed up in her gown, full hair and makeup, and next to her is the pastor.
We are gathered here together.
Right.
Don't do it.
The bride wants a ceremony right there in the clothing aisle at Target.
No comprendo.
Please tell me he backed up.
And at this point, she realizes that people are filming her. Cell phone cameras are out. They're rolling. She turns to the shoppers and says nervously,
hi, guys. I'm just finally making him commit, you know? Like, we're getting married now or, like, it's over.
Woo! Do it.
I'm finally making him commit. We're getting married now or it's over.
Get out of here. Go home to mom.
Somehow the fiancé stays calm and says, can we talk about this outside?
You want to get away?
And she agrees.
Yes, we can talk about this outside.
Oh, my God.
Listen to the guy now.
Could someone have told me about
If someone had told me.
It makes no sense at all.
Hey, buddy, some free advice around here.
Check, run. Please.
Run. Walk out of the store. Keep walking.
It's done.
I mean,
there's Targets all over the world. You can find another one to go to.
Consider the ring a sunk cost. Don't turn back.
And he is gone.
Oh! Paul's goal.
Thank you, Paul.
I would ask for the ring back, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Sunk cost, Doug.
Doug and Wolf's. It's all about the you. It's all about the you. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is very simple. If she's that inconsiderate to your parents to do that, then it's just going to get worse, son. It's just going to get worse.
Yeah. Should I go on Seattle radio? I just got a text. Last time I did a few months ago, all the 12 started calling in and we got into it. I might have to bring it.
Do it.
Yeah.
You know what, Basinonians? I hope Ryan Fitzpatrick is joking. Peace and strength. 87 years old, sitting there crocheting, watching a football game, and as she's crocheting, all of a sudden yelling out, tell him! Get him! Tell him!